listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This time on Fridays, 11 in the morning on the West Coast. It's Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, and you are officially on the couch with me. And this is where we talk about lots of different things. Relationships. We talk about issues going on. Talk about complaints. How to get yourself out of certain situations. How to motivate yourself. Well, I've got a whole bunch of cool topics we're going to deal with today. This is what I call a free-for-all Friday. And that means I'm going to be answering listeners' questions. I got a lot of emails this past week in response to last week's show, as well as questions about how to deal with certain problems and relationships and stuff like that. And I'm Dr. Michelle, where you can contact me at the number 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. My producer says we got a caller up on the line. Let's check it out, see what's going on. Good morning. You're on the air with Dr. Michelle. Hello? Call in. Okay. Blew off. They blew me off. Okay. Again, you can call me at 323-203-0815. And what I'm doing mainly today is I am responding to a lot of emails. And I'll talk to listeners if you want to call in. Cool. But I'm responding to your emails. You found me, by the way, here on LA Talk Radio. It's the largest talk station on the internet in the world. Anywhere, anytime. The most popular. The most interesting. And you can see the little front page here if you're listening to me. A little web page here. And find me on my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C. Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. That's where most of the folks contacted me, through my website, which is Dr. Michelle Therapy. Dr. Michelle. There's no period after the R. Dr. Michelle Therapy.com. And that way, you know, we can just talk. By the way, you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. No, we do not. But I just share information and we talk about stuff. I give you some advice and take your feedback too. And maybe if you call in, some of your advice might help other people out as well. So that would be really cool. And again, on my website, you can find me at Dr. Michelle Therapy. Whoops. What happened? I'm looking at my producer and saying, why did you do that to me? Why? It's all your fault. Yeah. Which leads me to the first call and email. It's all my fault, taking responsibility. I think it's really important that we take responsibility for our choices and how we talk. You know what I'm saying? Let's just jump right into this first one. Dear Dr. Michelle, I have a problem. My partner and I often get bogged down when it comes to talking about sex. I often feel we have very different expectations in this area. And I think a lot of it is his fault. Because he doesn't know how to talk to me. Okay, here we go again. Taking responsibility. It might be his fault, but why are you responding and to him like that? You need to communicate effectively. So here's the dealio. Let's just jump into sex this morning. Something sounds like fun. It's a Friday after all. You know, it's important to be aware of your own feelings. It's important to be aware when you're talking about sex, how you feel about your partner, how comfortable you feel in his or her presence. Since this is a Carol, I suspect that she's talking about a guy. You have to think about what does and doesn't feel comfortable or desirable in terms of physical closeness or sexual contact. Got to think about these things. And you've got to trust your gut feelings. So, you know, you get bogged down, sit down, have some time, have a glass of wine, chill out a little bit. Whatever you do to chill out, relax. And if you're not happy with what he's doing or it's not turning you on or you guys have different needs and wants, you both need to communicate what you really want. Express what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. I don't like it when you do this because it's a little rough or it freaks me out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Communicate clearly to your partner what your limits are. Okay? And be prepared to defend your limits. If something's freaking you out and they're doing something, they say no. No mixed messages. You know, you have the right to be respected and you're not responsible for your partner's feelings or reactions. If you're not into something and he's, and this is what I'm talking to you, Carol, because you wrote me, but guys, you apply it to. Usually this comes with women and men because men are pretty much open to anything. It's right. Well, it is. It's true. You've got to just express what you need and what you want. You don't want to be turned off to the guy every time you're making love and you guys have different things and he's trying to do stuff and that's what he likes. It's called compromise. But if you're so not into something, you need to speak up because you're going to hold in all this resentment and then it's just going to blow. And you don't want to do that. You know what I'm talking about. And then so when you talk about sex, you're so angry. You've built up all this stuff because you kept it in. Okay. So both partners, you both have a responsibility in preventing certain sexual things you don't like. Okay. Guys, a lot of times need to know that no means no. Okay? Even if you think she's saying yes non-verbally, Carol, you need to tell your guy, no, I'm just not into this. Okay? Now, I don't know really what's going on with you because you said that you get bogged down when it comes to talking about sex. It doesn't sound like it's a really horrible, horrible thing, but it just sounds like you guys just can't communicate about what you want. Tell him what you want. Show him what you want. This is what I'd like. Take his hands and put them on your body and show him what you'd like. Now, I don't know how bad this relationship is or what's going on, but if you feel unsafe, Carol, leave. You know, just leave. If you're not feeling, I'm done. If it's too creepy and hurting you or feeling uncomfortable, I'm done. That's your right to do. But just communicate what you really want. Show him what you like. Tell him what you'd like. And if he's a pretty decent, reasonable guy, he's going to listen. And let him tell you what he likes. And you guys find a compromise. If you're not going for something that he wants to do, you tell him. That's kind of creeping me out. Okay. What can we do to come to terms of some kind of, mediation? What can we do? I'll agree to do this if you agree to do that. I'm willing to do this. It's not too weird. That's it. You just talk. You just open up and talk. It's talk. Taking responsibility for what you need by expressing exactly what you want and what you like. And that's what you do. All right. Here we go. Dr. Michelle here, by the way. You're on the couch with me, as you always are, Fridays, here on LA Talk Radio. And I'm doing Free for All Friday today, answering your emails, which you've written me, from the link on my website, which you can find here on the webpage at LA Talk Radio. But you can check me out at drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle Therapy. And then I'll link you to my radio station email where you can just kind of ask questions. That's all you have to do, as Sarah did. So here we go. Number two, Sarah. Dear Dr. Michelle, I've been seeing this guy exclusively for about 7 months. Good. I feel very strongly about him, but I want to know if what I'm feeling is the real deal. I've had some bad judgments in picking guys in the past, haven't we all? At first, I thought they were great, but it turned out that I lost interest in them. Or lost respect because of the way they lived their lives and treated me. Therefore, I kind of don't trust my judgment in men. How can I be sure if my feelings of being in love with this guy are real? Now, this is a real, you know, I get this a lot because a lot of women and men, they don't trust their feelings. They wonder if it's lust versus love, or is it excitement, or is it just somebody different, or is it because they're opposites, you know, you're really attracted to them. I mean, sometimes it's just really hard to figure that out. But there's some questions you might ask yourself, Sarah. And here they are. This is, am I in love with this guy? Okay? You got to ask yourself if you'd be willing to let him go if you thought it was the best thing. Okay? If he fell in love with someone else or whatever, he had to pursue a passion and you were so in love with him, you thought, could you think about letting him go if you really believed it was the best thing? That's love. You also need to ask yourself, and this, you know, these are just some ideas. If you guys were in a bad argument, a really bad argument, I don't know how heavy bad your arguments have gotten, or if you guys argue much at all, but would you feel the same way about this person? You seem like you're in love. If you guys had a heavy, verbal, major argument, would you feel the same way about him? How about if he got sick? You know, would you feel the same way if he got really ill? Would you hang with him? Would you love him? Would you be there for him? I know these are creepy questions. They're hard to face because sometimes that's what we have to do in order to establish how real our feelings are and how much in love we are with someone. You know? Do you respect him? You got to ask yourself that. Do you admire him? Do you respect him for what he does? Because in your question here to me, Sarah, you said you lost respect in many of the guys who you were with because of the way they live their lives. So you got to ask, do you respect and admire this guy? All right. How about this one? This is a biggie. Are you willing to sacrifice some of your dreams to allow his dreams to come true? Because you want his happiness. Are you selfless? You got to think about that. That's a biggie. Selflessness. How about this? Now, and this is a toughie because, you know what? We're all into looking beautiful here in Los Angeles. It's all about looking great. The entertainment capital of the world. Everyone looks fabulous. Would you feel the same way if he gained weight? If he got really heavy? Would you still love him? Now, I know that sexual attraction is you know, a part of really caring for someone. You know, you respect them because they take care of themselves. And you have good sex with them because you like the way they look and you have a great time. But if he gained a lot of weight, would you still love him? So these are some questions you might want to ask yourself. It sounds like you may be in love. You know what I'm saying? So if you're wondering if you're in love, it's often because you might base a decision on your answer. Be careful. Decisions should not be based just on the feeling of love, good feelings. Again, it's kind of hard sometimes to tell love between lust. You have to look at respect, commitment, and trust. All right? And don't pressure yourself. Just enjoy the relationship. Let it go. Am I in love? You know, are you in a hurry? A lot of clients I have, you know, they're in a hurry. Their body clocks are running out. They want to find the right guy. But they're with somebody, but they don't know if he's the right guy. If he's the perfect guy, are they going to settle for somebody? You know, you got to figure out what the deal breakers are for you in a relationship. You know, just take your time to answer these questions. Think about it. Don't jump into anything, you know, that you're not ready for. Don't worry about it. Just take your time and answer these questions. Okay? All righty, let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are. On Fridays here, 11 in the morning. And, of course, this is Pacific Standard Time in the entertainment capital of the world, And if you'd like to call, I'm here. It's cool. We can chat. Relationship stuff, personal stuff, anything going on. That number is 323-203-0815. You and I do not have a personal relationship, by the way. That is therapeutic. It's just advice, entertainment, helping you out on some of the stuff I know. And I'm answering your emails. Now, this is a really interesting one. I like this one because it's different. And I'm amazed and I'm interested, you know, in women who get attracted to bad guys. I used to have this client years ago who kind of got herself straight. But she used to go see a guy who she was in love with who'd been in prison for 10 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did he do? Well, assault. He assaulted someone. It was for robbery. Didn't kill him, but he assaulted them. They almost died. Was in jail for 10 years. That was good behavior, too. But she was in love with this guy. She had to go see him. Oh, my goodness, it's my time. I get to go see him. Going to Vacaville to see my man. Going through all the security and spending that time with him. Oh, come on. How desperate are you? I can't believe... I'm in love. He assaults other people. Okay, I'm done with my rant. Let's move on. Okay, dear Dr. Michelle, I've always been attracted to bad guys. I don't know why, but I usually end up getting hurt. You think? What do you think? The last guy I was with was in jail several times. He just got out and wants to be with me. He doesn't know where I live now and have been avoiding calling him back. Ah, because I'm a little scared of him. My sister says that there's something wrong with me for picking guys who have criminal traits. Can you tell me why I might be attracted to this type of person? And more about what is called an antisocial personality type. What does that mean? Are they not social? No, that's not what that means. It's a phrase coined by the American Psychiatric Association. There's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And we have different names for things. Personality disorders. This is one of them. And it's called antisocial personality. Well, most people call them sociopaths or psychopaths. People who would commit assault and hurt other people. So here's the deal. This is Candy. I like your name, babe. Candy, here you go. What is it with the antisocial personality type? What does that mean? All right, let me give you some of the definitions of what that means. And that this is, I guess, what they have called him or what you think he is. And you kind of have a right to be scared, and I wouldn't be with him again. I'm glad you moved. I'm glad he doesn't know where to find you, but you still have your phone number, apparently, because he's been calling you. And why did you allow that to happen? Okay. If you're worried about this guy getting out of stir and wanting to see you again, and he frightens you a little bit, why didn't you change your phone number? I don't know about you, girl. Anyway, here's the thing. There's a continuous pattern of disregard and violation for the rights of others. This is what this guy's about. If he's been in jail several times and he has done serious crimes, okay, here's some of the stuff. He has a failure to conform to social norms. He can't be lawful. He can't behave nicely. He repeatedly performs acts that are grounds for arrest. He's deceitful. He lies. He probably uses aliases. He cons others for personal profit or pleasure. Impulsivity. Failure to plan ahead. Well, maybe he planned his assault on someone that he committed. Irritability and aggressiveness. Repeated physical fights, assaults. And that means there's a reckless disregard for safety of self or others. And rightly so, you are to be afraid of this person. You know? Candy? I'm just saying. I'm just laying it on the line for you. I'm reading down the list of what the characteristics are of an antisocial personality person. You ask me, and I'm telling you. Consistent irresponsibility. Lack of remorse. This is the biggie. There is an indifference to or rationalizing having hurt, mistreated, or stolen, or abused, or assaulted someone else. There's never, you know, I really screwed up and I can't do that ever again. It's, well, they made me mad. They made me do it. There's reoccurring difficulties with the law, violating boundaries and the rights of others. Substance abuse is usually involved. It's just the aggressive, often violent behavior. There's an inability to tolerate boredom. They gotta have excitement. It's the disregard for safety of others around them that really bothers me. And the lack of remorse. It's everyone else's fault. That's the narcissism within the antisocial. So, Candy Girl, you wrote me. You have a right to be afraid of this person. If I were you, I'd change my phone number. He doesn't know where you live. I don't know if he knows friends of yours or is going to try to eke you out or contact you. I think you need to make it very clear to this person, if you are afraid of him and you're done, that you don't want to see him. And you need protection and you need to tell friends and family. And I think you need to find out from someone at the jail where he's getting out of about his tendencies. And I think you ought to let him know that you're worried. Just my advice. And why, you ask me, would you get involved with someone like this? I don't know. Are you desperate? Why would you find someone like this exciting? Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, they're so exciting, the bad guys. Are you so desperate and needy that you have to be with someone who would put you in harm's way or hurt other people? You know, look at your background. Ask yourself, what in me needs to, you know, feel that I am a victim or that I need to be with someone like this? Stay away. You have a right. I'm glad you asked me, and I'm glad you wrote me, and I'm glad that you're worried, because you should be. If he's been in prison for a long time, several times, last time was for assault, just go away. Make him go away. Or you go away. That's it. Alrighty. Thank you for emailing me. It's Dr. Michelle with you. You're on the couch, as you always are. And we are doing a free-for-all Friday where I'm answering a lot of your emails. And you can do so by finding me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. And, you know, you can link on to my my email address, which is here at the station as well. And I'll try to answer your questions. It's Doc Michelle, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. And I'm moving through some of the questions here. Oh, yeah. Let's see here. There's a lot of anger and relationship questions. All right. Here we go. Let's do this one. Dear Doc, a friend of mine told me that when you argue with your relationship partner, that the first several minutes of an argument matters most because it's what and how you speak to them. I'm asking this because my husband and I get into these yelling and screaming fights about stupid things like finances, plans for the future, politics, and in-laws. Oh, yeah, those are the biggies. You didn't mention kids. I guess you don't have kids. That's the real biggie. We usually end up having great makeup sex, but I still feel the pain from time to time from some of the comments he makes when he's been arguing with me the day before. So I'd really like to understand what my friend meant about the importance of how the beginning of an argument goes and if it could help our relationship. Yeah, it is important. And it sounds like your friend's been reading some of John Gottman's stuff. He's a psychologist known for his work on marital stability. He's done direct observations, scientific experiments, and he's really good. And his research shows that so much of what predicts a relationship, you know, the outcome of a relationship, is the way that a fight begins. I know that sounds really bizarre, but it's true. You know, you see people escalate, or I don't know if you escalate. I don't know, you know, what it is with you. Her name's Lily, by the way. Lily, my dear. But what's actually really great news is that the way your fight begins and ends means that you kind of don't have to worry about what you're fighting about a lot of times or how often you argue. I'm a little concerned about how often, because that's kind of a lot of drama, and you stir up those neurohormones, and you get all addicted to that. You know, the excitement, the drama, and the. You just have to think, you know, I need to make sure that I start the fight correctly. If we're disagreeing or we're arguing, that I don't let it escalate. I learn how to de-escalate, right? And that's a skill. And it's just kind of taking a breath and you know, just kind of relaxing a little bit. So here's what you do if you're in an argument, okay? You stay focused. You don't go into the past. When you're dealing with current stuff, you don't go, well, you used to do this and you don't remember. No. Stay in the present. It clouds the issue. It makes finding mutual understanding and a solution to the current issue less likely when you go all around and talk about the past. Women do this a lot. We do. We go there. Men do it, but not as often. So don't bring up past hurts or other topics. Stay focused on the present. This is how to argue effectively. There is a way. There are ways. We do get carried away, but we have to listen carefully. People think that they're listening, but they're not really. They're, you know, sometimes when we're in an argument, we're thinking about what we're going to say next to top them. You know, really good communication, which is in fighting, goes both ways. Try to really listen to what your partner's saying. Shut the hell up. Don't interrupt. Don't get defensive. Just hear them. And reflect back what they're saying. Okay, so what you just said to me was it really pisses you off when I start asking you about how late you're going to work and where you've been. Because it makes you feel like I don't trust you. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah. Reflect back. Just hear him and reflect it. Is this what you're saying? Let him say yes. Okay. All right. Also, try to see their point of view. Most of us usually want to feel heard and understood. And we talk a lot about our point of view, our needs. We need to get the other person to see things our way. But if we all do this all the time, there's little focus on the other person's point of view. Nobody feels understood. So really try to see the other side. As hard as it is, they're so stubborn. They're so stupid. How could they think that? Well, it's their stuff. It's okay. You got to have a mutual respect for that. Now, when someone comes at you with criticism, you know, it's easy to feel that they're wrong. You get defensive. It hurts. You know, it's hard to hear sometimes. And it's always exaggerated. You know, you are so lazy. You are so thoughtless. Whatever. You know, you're not warm enough or sexy enough. It's important to listen and try to take it in. Because obviously there's something going on. Maybe they're projecting their own stuff onto you. Maybe it's not true. But listen and respond to criticism with empathy or trying to think about it. I wonder what have I done that might have caused them to think this? You know, I had a guy years ago with his wife. Used to go out after work all the time. Say I'll be home at 8. He'd come home at 12 midnight. They didn't have any kids, thank goodness. But he'd be drinking. He had an alcoholic problem. He'd go out drinking with the guys after work or girls or whatever. And he couldn't tell her. But he'd come home and he'd be a little drunk. You know, it wasn't until he got a couple of DUIs that he didn't get his act together. And the wife said, I'm just about done with this guy. Why is he lying to me? Yeah. Okay. You got to own what's yours also. So Lily, realize that personal responsibility is a strength. Not a weakness. I always say this, and I always beat the drum on this. This is so important. Effective communication involves admitting when you're wrong. If you both share some responsibility in the conflict, it's always the case. Maybe somebody does worse things than you. Indeed. But you got to take a little responsibility. Look for it. Admit to what is yours. See? It sets a good example. I admit that I do this sometimes, and I am like this. It often inspires the other person to respond a little kinder, makes the argument chill out a little bit, you know, if you admit it. And use those I messages. I say this all the time. Rather than saying things like, you really messed up, you're really lazy, you're really stupid, you say, I feel frustrated. When you do this, You know, it's less accusatory. Nobody wants to feel like they're a child. Nobody wants to feel like you're the parent. You know, I never want couples to feel like mommy is talking to the little boy or daddy is talking to the little girl, talking down to her. It's less accusatory. It sparks less defensiveness. It helps the other person understand your point of view. Don't attack. Use iMessages. I feel sad when you stay out really late and you don't tell me where you're at because I think it's like kind of passive aggressive. It makes me feel like you're trying to hide something. Can you tell me why you do that? It makes me sad. I feel sad. Not you're an asshole and you don't call me. Or you're thoughtless. Well, that probably could be the case, but you don't put it like that. Don't try to win an argument either. Winning. I won that one. It's not a friggin' contest. You don't get little gold stars, unless you keep track of these things, up on your refrigerator. I won that argument. I was so smart. I just told him what he was. Take some time out. Sometimes tempers get really heated. It's just too difficult to continue a discussion. Ha! Go away. I used to tell couples, walk away and say, excuse me, I need some downtime. I'm going to take a walk around the block. This is getting too weird for me. I got to think about this. Because you're going to say things sometimes that really are hurtful and that you really don't mean. In the heat of the moment, you're just defending and you're just angry. You see red. Take some time. Take some downtime. Take a time out, just like your little kid. You need to take a time out. You see? Or they need to take a time out. If they're out of control verbally, and, of course, physically, that's when you call the police. Yeah, you dial 911. But if they're out of control and your fighting's escalating, they're screaming and yelling, you walk away. You don't need it. The screaming at each other is not going to work. It's really important to try to remain respectful of the other person. But if they're screaming at you and yelling at you, that's no respect. You're not going to get respect. They're in the heat of the moment, and you got to just walk away. Get some downtime. Get a little dust settling in between you. I think it's really important. And that leads me to my next question. By the way, this is Dr. Michelle, and you are on the couch with me as you always are on Friday. And today is another free-for-all Friday where I'm answering your emails. You've written me. You found me here at LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk radio station on the Internet. And it's great to have you here. But by the way, if you want to write, you can find me on my website, drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And then you can link onto my, business email where we can, share things on the air. Maybe I can help you out, which is right, docmichelle@AOL.com. Here we go. Dear Michelle, do arguments or disagreements ever end? My girlfriend and I, I finally got an email from a guy here. My girlfriend and I, who live together, always fight about the same things. I'm getting tired of the same stupid old crap. It makes me really crazy and doubt whether I can take this relationship much longer. Do arguments really ever end? And, well, let's see, Lance. I don't know. I don't think arguments, the general themes, ever really end. But I think compromise and respecting each other's beliefs, where you can agree to disagree, helps settle these long-term things. I don't think ongoing arguments or issues that you are so strongly believing in ever really end. I think you hold on to your stuff. I know it's kind of shocking, but they say that 70% of marital conflicts never get resolved. This is the old crap, you know? Researchers like Gottman, the guy I was just talking about, they bring couples into the lab and they listen to them fight about whatever, the dog or the let's talk about marriage couples, the mother-in-law or the socks on the floor. It's true. And 10 years later, they're still fighting about that dog and the socks or the clothes on the, might be a different dog. But still, they're fighting about, you know what I'm saying? The mother-in-law, they're still fighting about these core issues that have really wrenched them and their beliefs about through all these years. Like 30% of the conflicts kind of do get resolved, and you kind of figure things out. But people usually learn to adjust and compromise. personally, but what I think is that this information suggests that 70% of the stuff we fight about doesn't really matter. The socks on the floor, the clothes being, it's just an irritant. You know, it's just like getting on my last nerve. You know, these little things that we argue about in relationships and marriages or whatever. It just doesn't matter. We all have our own stuff. There's always going to be problems. It's part of having a relationship. It's kind of irrelevant if you look at the weird things. Okay? The most important thing is that you don't beat each other up if you're disagreeing. Be nice. You can be nice. And still fight. It's really, really, it's true. No, it's really true. So, there you go, Lance. Hopefully I helped you a little bit. A lot of the general core of disagreements don't, they're still there. They're always there. Like, you don't resolve a lot of the biggies. You compromise. That's my advice. You got to just compromise. That's what it's about. That's what any relationship is about. And then you got to know what the deal breakers are for you. How far is this person, you know, what are the deal breakers? Is his leaving socks and his shirts on the floor when he comes home and he's tired and he doesn't want to put him in the house? Is that the deal breaker? Gee, that's the deal breaker. I'm sorry for you. You just got to keep reminding. Gee, I'd really appreciate it if you'd do that. You know, you didn't take out the dog, or you didn't walk the dog, or you didn't do that. Is that the deal breaker? Come on. Your mother-in-law's going to get in between you two? What kind of a wimp are you? Are you kidding me? Is that the deal breaker? Come on. Be a couple and manage stuff like this. Compromise. Argue effectively. All that stuff I told you about a little earlier. Okay. Speaking about research and, you know, marital happiness, I got an old email that I wanted to answer because it kind of fits in with all this stuff. It says, Dr. Michelle, do you have any ideas or strategies that couples can use to stay happy and keep their marriages strong? I get this all the time. That's why people come to psychologists or MFTs for relationship help. It says, signed, things are going okay, but worried it won't last. Why are you worried it won't last? If things are going okay, why are you worried it won't last? That's kind of paranoid. I don't know. Maybe things aren't going so okay. But let me just tell you this. What marriage researchers see consistently is that successful couples, now listen to me, that register high on these happiness scales, they have all these scales. You know, they take these Likert scales, meaning not at all, which is zero, or excellent, which is five. You know, they just know, how do you feel about this? Pretty good. You know, okay. The small things do matter. Researchers see that how couples manage conflict, like I said a little earlier, how they start and end the fight, and the positive things they do matter almost more than the negatives, right? Here's a really important thing that I have found and that I've seen in couples and that I see in a lot of research. Do you, when I say the small things, I'm talking about like the small victories, little bitty things that you do for your person. This stuff really matters, you know? Do you celebrate like small victories? That, like, your partner comes home and says, God, I made some extra money today. You know, I made some extra money. I got a good commission or whatever. Do you say, oh, that's nice. That's nice. Because your mind's on something else or you're totally self-involved in something? Or do you go, oh, my God, that's awesome. You made some extra money. Let's go celebrate. Don't say, good, give me $50 because I want to go shopping. No, girls, no. Say, well, honey, that's awesome. Good for you. What did you do extra that made you make so much more money? How did that make you feel? Play the therapist on them. You know, little things where we praise or where we get excited for our couple's accomplishments, even if you're in a crappy mood yourself and you're all wallowing in your own things and you're all whatever, extend yourself. Get out of yourself and say, oh my God, that's awesome. The little things we often take for granted as couples, that's the biggie. They build up. And then you get depressed. You don't expect a response that's really positive. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great, honey. No. Sometimes you gotta fake it. At least show some interest. Put your own crap aside. You know, sometimes we think the stuff that matters is the big fight or the conflict we're having. And I don't think a lot of people appreciate how much the kiss goodbye in the morning. It's true. Or holding your partner's hand when you go out, when you're sitting there. You know, I went to the Dodger game last week. I sat there and held my hubby's hand. We held hands. We grossed out. We ate those Dodger dogs and we're drinking beer. And we're rooting and hollering and yelling with everybody else and acting weird. But we're holding hands. We're like a couple. We're making out. We're kidding. We're not making out. But we kissed. We're like, oh, that's so fun. Oh, the Dodgers lost. I'm so excited. They didn't lose this last game, though. Anyway, you know, for some reason, we think that the kind of stuff doesn't count. The research shows that the kind of thing counts a whole lot in a good marriage. Little stuff. Acknowledging, listening, looking, having nice little loving eyes with your partner. Even though you feel like crap and your back is aching, or the kids are bugging you, or you have to take the dog out, or you had a hard day at work, your partner's trying to communicate something to you. You got to look at him and say, oh, honey, that's so neat. I love you. Touch him. Hold their hand. Give him a hug. Oh, that's awesome. Ladies and men, both of you, guys, do not neglect your women. Respond to them. I know we talk a lot and we talk about feelings. It's true. We go on and on and on. We need just listen. That's the little things that you need to do to appreciate your partner. The little bitty things are really, really important. All right. Let's move on. Let's see if we have some other good relationship things that I can help you with. We talked about expressing yourself sexually to your partner. Tell them what you need directly. Don't criticize them. Just tell them what you like. Tell them how it makes you feel. How to argue effectively. How you start a fight. Using I messages. Not accusatory. Don't make your mate feel like your child. We talked about all these cool things. Arguing effectively. There's a lot of people asking me questions about arguments. You know, keeping the marriage strong. All right. Let's move on to something very different. I get a lot of people who have depression or anxiety about life. It's, you know, sometimes it's difficult making a living in these economic times. We all get tired. We're all paying for gasoline that's really high here in Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world. Gasoline is over $3, of course. It's not the nation's medium. No, it's not. It's way over. It's hard to... We got stressors. We got family. We got bills to pay. It's very difficult economically. I'm not going to get into politics or whose fault it was. But what I'm saying is it makes us depressed. We have to kind of get going. So one of the most common problems that I hear from people is how to get motivated. Because a lot of folks I see are on antidepressants. They can't get motivated. They can't get excited about things. And these are all the symptoms of depression, you know. So here we go. Dear Dr. Michelle, I don't know how to get motivated. It seems impossible at times. Sometimes I don't feel like doing anything. You know, I can't get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes I can't get excited. I want to go out with friends, but I just don't have the energy. I want to get involved in that group, but I don't have the energy. I want to write that book. I want to get a class on writing, how to write, but I just don't think I can get myself there. I want to go to a self-help group about how to build my self-esteem, but I don't have any motivation. So here's the deal. Whenever we're in a slump, it's often because we have too much going on in our lives. We're overwhelmed. Or we even think we're overwhelmed. We're trying to do too much. So what happens, especially what I see with a lot of people in this society, really saps our energy. We're wiped out a lot. You know? We, I think, try to take on too much. And even physically, if we're not accomplishing too much, you know what I'm saying? We're taking on too much in our brains. How we're going to solve these problems? How are we going to solve financial problems? How are we going to solve our spouses or our boyfriends or our girlfriends? How are we going to deal with the person at work who's a jerk? How are we going to deal with, oh my God, I'm late. How am I going to pay for gas to get to work? How am I going to pay for, I got some financial problems and I can't even pay for my physical problems. I got to go see the doctor about this problem I have, but we take on so much. So you have to choose one goal or two small goals and focus on them. Okay? You can always do the biggies when you've accomplished the one small steps. I can't emphasize this enough. I always say this. Okay? So how do you get going? How do you get motivated to do things that you really want to do? Find inspiration. Find out who might be a hero of yours. Inspiration comes from others who've achieved what we want to achieve. You know, read other blogs. You know, go online. Find out about people who've done things or how they overcame things. Get that information. Google your goal. You see what I'm saying? Read success stories. Pump you up a little bit. Wow, they did that. Maybe I could do that. So inspiration comes from others who've achieved what we want to achieve. Okay. You got to get a little excited. I know when you're depressed, it's really difficult. And you're tired or you haven't gotten enough sleep. That really wipes you out. You need that REM time. But you got to get excited. Most people don't think about, you know, if they want to accomplish something or they want to get motivated about doing something in their life, they want to accomplish one little thing. You got to break out of a slump and get yourself excited. Because if you're not kind of pushing yourself to do one thing at a time and work on this little goal, you probably aren't as excited about it. You like to complain. You're one of those people. You know, it starts with inspiration from others. It's also good to get excited by talking to supportive friends. Notice how I said supportive. If your spouse is supportive about your dreams, family members who may, clergy people, rabbis, therapists, you know, it's just a matter of trying to getting excited and carrying energy forward. Build anticipation. It's really important. You know, anticipation about, wow, how cool it's going to be when I get to start doing this, or when I get to start writing my book, when I get to stop smoking. If you find inspiration and you want to do a goal, don't start right away. Build anticipation. Make plans and then start the baby steps. Post your goal and your small goals. Write them. Look at them every day. Commit publicly. Like I said, to those friends and those people out there who support you, say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You see, sometimes when you put it out there, you can't back down. People are expecting it. And then you feel real bad about yourself when you don't do it. Put it out there publicly. Think about it daily. Positive. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay? And there is an ebb and a flow. You have to realize that. Some days are bad days. Some days are good days. Hang in there. Stick with it. Start small. Really small. If you're having a hard time getting started, getting motivated, it may be because you're thinking too big. If you want to exercise, for example, you might be thinking that you have to do these intense workouts 5 days a week. This is the problem with people a lot of times. They take on too many things and they think that they have to go 180. No. Do small, tiny baby steps. Do 5 minutes of exercise. I know it sounds really wimpy, but it works. Commit to 5 minutes of exercise 2 days a week. If you're sitting on your butt and you can't exercise and you're complaining, you really got to do little baby steps. Don't go out and think you have to join a gym and kill yourself for half an hour running on the treadmill. You know, don't kill yourself. All right. And that, you know, those are just some ideas about getting motivated. Nobody's going to help you except yourself. All right. That's the Dr. Michelle way. Get off your booty and just start making the small steps. Stop talking about it. Write it down. Commit to others. Get support. Read blogs on how people do it. And get off your booty. And you do it. It's amazing when you just start taking actions and stop complaining. It's amazing how it works. All righty. This is Dr. Michelle. And we got to make way. We got CBS News coming up. also more fabulous programs here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk station on the internet. It's Dr. Michelle. You've been on the couch with me. Hope you enjoyed today. Thank you so much for all your emails. You can email me if you have any questions, problems, issues, want to respond to today's show at docmichelle@aol.com. Find me also on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you can help others. That's always a good thing. All right. Stay strong. Keep up the good work. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get your name. But I see you in the corner of the room.